We're going to return to our study in Luke this morning on Mother's Day. I pray that each of you women are blessed, especially today, loved and honored and cherished, and know that God has His hand in blessing upon you, and we recognize that and are so grateful for it. I came across a few things I was going to read to you before we read the scripture, since it is Mother's Day. 98-year-old mother was being interviewed about her long life and how she felt about being a mother all those years. After all those years, she said, "I feel just wonderful," was her reply. "For the first time since I became a mother, I no longer have to worry about my children." They said, "How's that?" She said, "They're both in the nursing home." That ain't all that funny, I know, but I thought it got me anyway to get with. Another one is things that a mother taught us. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that spot will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me about logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going shopping with me. My mother taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear your clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me let's skip that one. I can't see the top part of it. My mother taught me about ESV. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold? My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. Then my mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. I got to read those this morning. Some of them were funnier than others, I agree, but I thought that would be some humor this morning. This morning we're going to go back, actually, to the passage we were in last week, which was the Transfiguration. And I want to read that passage again, and we're going to particularly look towards the end of it this week. I didn't spend much time last week on the last and major point, I suppose, of it last week. But let's read from Luke chapter 9, verse 28 through 36. "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah,'" or that is three tents, "not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things that they had seen. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank you for our mothers. Every one of us had one. We thank you for your blessing through them in giving us life and all else that they gave to us. We thank you, Father, for giving us this day to celebrate and to honor them, to remember them. And now, Father, thank you for your word. I pray you give us ears to hear what you are saying, even as you declared to those disciples on that mount where Christ's divinity shone through his humanity. We thank you for your presence and the forgiveness of our sins. In his name we pray. Amen. We talked last week about this experience, this event where Christ follows up having told his disciples that he was going to the cross after Peter's great confession that he is the Christ, God's chosen one, the sent one, God incarnate, and then calling them to take up their cross, calling us to take up ours, to deny ourselves and to follow him. And then following all of that, he takes them up onto this mountain, Peter, James, and John, that is, and he allows them to see his divinity, his godness. And as I said last week, something that stood out about this, that event to me that I'd really not seen before last week and in studying for last Sunday's message, Jesus was, after telling them and in preparation for what he told them coming to pass, that he would be betrayed, arrested, tried, and finally killed and laid in a borrowed tomb, he takes them up on this mountain and showed them who he was, who he is. More than they had ever been able to see before, even with all the miracles, even with all of the things that Jesus had done and said. And they know that he is indeed God. And Jesus is saying to them, understand that I'm no victim, that I am choosing. This is the Father's plan. I am the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. This is my choice in giving my body to be broken, my blood to be shed, to redeem everyone who believes on me and all of creation. And the disciples are seeing this. And like I said, you can imagine the amazement, the bewilderment, the awe, I mean, whatever words you can come up with, that they are experiencing in this moment. Not only do they see Jesus' divinity, but they see Moses and Elijah, who are present and speaking with him about his Exodus, which we talked about using that term last week. And this event is more than they know what to do with. And Peter, true to his nature, engages his mouth before his brain, I suppose. But they found themselves in a place where they didn't know what to do. So Peter speaks up. Well, let me pitch three tents and we'll just stay here. And Luke tells us, not knowing what he said. Life involves much we don't understand. Don't know what to make of it. Sometimes, like Peter, we come up with suggestions or solutions, and we, like Peter, don't know what we're saying. We're not sure what to do in that circumstance, in that setting, in our life. We all go through life kind of with that knowing question in the back of our mind. You know, what now? Is this right? How do you explain this? And in that situation, there in that place, they go from not knowing what to do or what to say, and Peter blurting out his best idea, to this cloud enveloping them. And I don't know if I read the account of that last week, but for this cloud to come and envelop them, to us it sounds like it would really be some kind of an experience. But because we are not culturally and historically Jews like Peter, James, and John were, it's a little beyond our grasp the magnitude of what takes place when this cloud moves in. Let me read to you from Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 through 14. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle or the tent. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people.' And he said," that is, God said, "'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" You see, every Jew understood in their history the importance and the connection between this cloud and the very presence and reality of God Almighty. And whenever Peter and James and John are on this mount and have seen something they've never seen before, never even imagined, and Moses and Elijah, and then in all of this experience that has blown their minds, you might say, this cloud comes. That's why it says, in verse 31, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful. I think it's the Gospel of Mark says they were very afraid as they entered the cloud. because they understood that it was the very presence of the Almighty, of Yahweh, of God, enveloping them there on that mountains. Clouds show up and cover us in our lives, in our circumstances, in our families, etc. And it can be fearful. We get in those times where we can't see anything and there's a cloud. But we can be reminded, God's present. God is present. Jesus promised, I will always be with you. When that cloud comes and they know that they are in the very presence of God, verse 35 says, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. This is my beloved Son, hear him. You know, God could have said anything. He had the right to say anything. He could have made any declaration he wanted. He could have taught something if he wanted to teach something. But instead, he turned all their focus, and I assure you, he had their attention. He turned their whole focus on Jesus and hearing him. That, in fact, is the title of my sermon today, is Hear Him. Jesus said, this is my beloved Son. This is the second time God has said this. You recall at the baptism when Christ came up out of the water, John the Baptist heard the voice of God say the same thing. This is my beloved Son. And here God says, hear him. If Christ is God's beloved Son, God incarnate, God with us, and since God is well pleased with him, as he said at the baptism and here at the transfiguration, it's imperative that we hear him. That we hear him. If you recall in 2024, I felt the Lord's word for us for that year was from Isaiah chapter 55. And we spent a good while studying that chapter. 1-3 says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. God's invitation. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen. Then he explains what he's talking about. Listen carefully to me. And you'll eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. We spent a good bit of time on that passage and looking at that call from God. And it hasn't changed. It's come. Come by grace, come as you are, come empty-handed, because you can't afford it. But come by grace, because he has given it. Come and hear him. Hear him. Now God's invitation here is not just for us to get instructions. It's not just to be told what to do. It's just like it talked about Moses there in the tent. God spoke with him face to face as man speaks to man. It's that call to eternal life, which Jesus defined in John 17:3, as to know God, an intimate friendship, in that closeness of love and affection and friendship, hearing him. Now, there's going to be some instruction. There will be some command when he tells us to do something. But above all, it's that love and relationship that Jesus said is eternal life. This is my beloved Son. The same way that He and the Father love one another and interact, He calls us into that intimacy of the Trinity. In that admonishment to hear Him, it's an invitation to share like Moses did in the very presence of God. And I know you thought I forgot it was Mother's Day with a sermon like this, but I think Christ's mother, Mary, understood this. I think she got it exactly right. You remember there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, early, back to the very beginning of Christ's ministry. And they ran out of wine. Their wedding celebrations are a week long sometimes. They ran out of wine, and she came to Jesus. And she asked for His help. Not because they deserved it, not because they earned it, but simply because He's gracious and compassionate. And she knew it. And after she asked Him, she turned to the servant, and her words were, "Whatever He says to you, do it." Whatever He says to you, do it. I believe that's exactly what God our Father was saying to us. The same thing Mary said, Jesus' mother. Whatever He says to you, take it to heart. Listen. Hear His heart. When there's something to do, do it. Whatever He says to you, do it. Hear Him. Romans chapter 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hear Him. That relationship with Him, just as the Father loves Him and we love Him, is the source, the fountainhead of our faith, our salvation, our very eternal life. And then we're given this clear reminder at the close. Verse 36. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. Matthew 17, Matthew's account of the Transfiguration, he says, but Jesus came and touched them. Because in Matthew's account, we're told that they were so afraid they fell to their faces on the ground. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. When they had lifted their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And to me, that's a perfect conclusion to this message about experiencing life's unexplainable, life's challenges, life's clouds, life's moments that we don't know what to do with, what to say about. And finally experiencing God, hopefully, in those moments, and maybe even having some experiences that are beyond our wildest imagination. Those, like all the rest, come and go. They pass, just like the cloud did. It passed on. Moses and Elijah went back to heaven. It was all said and done. When it was all through, as it always will be, they still had Jesus. Jesus remained alone. Jesus was with them. And that is all that you and I need. And that to me is a wonderful assurance. Even on Mother's Day, in those times when I was a boy and my mom said things to me that I really needed to hear at the moment. and brought peace back to my life, we have the assurance. Whatever we go through, wherever we are and whatever experience we've had, mountain top or valley low, Jesus is with us. And when it's over, he will still be faithful. He will still be present.